Conference Committee on House Bill 3069, August 2nd, 1993, Hearing Room 170, Work Session, House Bill 3069.
Mr. Chair and members, the Conference Committee is concerning House Bill 3069, which has to do with workers' compensation, guarding special districts, and other provisions. The item that makes the two versions of the amended bill similar is the one that adds certain districts to a list of governmental entities that are eligible for certification as self-insured employer groups for purposes of workers' compensation coverage. The items that are dissimilar have to do with the workers' comp coverage for newspaper carriers that was put into the House version, the A. and Gross version of the bill, which repealed 656070 and 656075 from the statute. The Senate version made SAFE subject to provisions of insurance laws and required the Secretary of State to file a performance audit with the Legislative Assembly and the Speaker and the President to create a joint interim task force to conduct a study and file a report to the Legislative Assembly recommending whether or not SAFE should be sold or returned to the state agency status. It also, on the Senate side, added workers' compensation records as exempt from disclosure under the public records law.
I'm told that the committee is adjourning, and Representative Shiprock will be here very shortly. I think we could start into the discussions, and perhaps one of the issues that remain that needs to be discussed that is really, and that is the confidentiality issue. Could we have Gary Weeks come up and talk about that for a moment with us, committee?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Gary Weeks, Director of the Department of Insurance and Finance. The confidentiality portion of this bill, which you find in, I should say it's more of a non-disclosure portion rather than confidentiality, but it's found in on page 3, subsection 18, and this is a subsection of chapter 192, which talks about what can be disclosed and not disclosed as a matter of public record. The language that you find in subsection 18, starting on line 22 and running through lines 32, is language from bills that we have introduced ourselves. It was found in Senate Bill 1106 and earlier than that, 2042, and now is found in this bill. We very much support this language because we are concerned and have been for some time about the way records regarding injured workers have been accessed for, we think, other than public purposes. Those records have been accessed by large firms, which then turn around and sell that information to employers. I think it's unlikely that information is sold to promote the hiring of those injured workers, but rather sold for other purposes, less noble than that. And so we have been very anxious to have this kind of language put into the statutes. It does provide for the release of information for public policy purposes, that is for insurers and self-insured employers, for governmental agencies, in other cases for research purposes where the individual claimant can't be identified. All of those are permitted under subsection 18 here on page 3. We think that it's inconsistent public policy to do what we've been doing, and that is to release records to folks that we know are using those records to avoid hiring injured workers on the one hand, and then on the other hand go out and try to sell to employers programs like the Preferred Worker Program, where we're encouraging through incentives employers to hire injured workers. Those are inconsistent public policy decisions, and we think this would bring some consistency to those positions, and we'd hope that you would support this movement.
The question I had raised with you, Mr. Weeks, was a concern about whether you had sufficient authority to deal with interest groups or people who might have a legitimate use for these records that we may not know about at this time. And could you just discuss that issue?
Mr. Chairman, yes. I think the way that the language is drafted now gives us plenty of authority to handle those kinds of requests. It's hard for, I think, us to imagine what public purpose might be served by something, someone not mentioned here. But when you've got governmental agencies providing the information for statistical data, as long as it doesn't reveal information, I think the construction of this particular section gives us plenty of authority.
Private sector as well, would you say?
If there's a public purpose, Mr. Chairman, if there's a public purpose to be served by the private sector, for example, research purposes or things of that nature, I would think the information could be disclosed. I don't, just to be clear, I don't think a public purpose is necessarily served by someone who calls and wants information about X, Y, or Z employee and did they have an injury at some time and so on. So we would not disclose that kind of information on a request like that.
Mr.
Just to
Chair.
Be clear,
I assume that if you were looking at somebody that wanted the tapes or the files or the records, not a single record, you've taken care of single records, but records for research purposes, you're referring to someone in the private sector for research purposes, you have no intent of providing personal information outside of the field within here. Is that correct? You would not be releasing lists of employees or employee records, I'm sorry, injured worker records that included personal information about that worker in terms of identity, would you?
Senator Smith, Mr. Chairman, absolutely not.
General work-related injury kinds of information.
Yeah.
You might be.
Let me have Tom tell you the kind of information we'd release. But our goal is to narrow this down and to not provide it to organizations that are going to use it for other than a public purpose. Why don't you explain what we now
just state your name for the record.
Mr. Chairman, Tom Mattis, Workers' Compensation Division. Senator Smith, right now the information that's released on a claims history is very basic claims data, such as date of injury, nature of body part injured, whether there's permanent disability, and so forth. Some of the time, instances in which we release that information to private or public bodies for research purposes are such as when the legislature requested there be a customer satisfaction survey of what the department's administration of the law. And so that information was released to, I believe it was Oregon State University, so that they could contact workers as part of the sample to determine the level of satisfaction.
One other question then. When you release information under circumstances like those, do you do it with the understanding to the party that you release that information that it is confidential information and they may not release it further?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Smith, that would be the purpose behind this law right now, bill. Right now, we cannot limit the use of that information.
Yes, I understand. I'm talking about
in the future, correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there further questions of the witnesses? I think that puts on the record dealing with the concerns I had about
Mr. Chairman, if I may, the other two bills where this has appeared, House Bill 2042 and Senate Bill 1106, it always had an emergency clause. The committee may want to consider whether you'd want to apply that in this instance, too.
We get chewed up pretty badly on emergency clauses now. I think we better resist that one. I wouldn't mind, but we've had some confrontations on the floor about the use of emergency clauses recently. I'd be reluctant.
Okay. I just wanted you to be aware of it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions on any other issues in the bill? Representative Anderson?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I move that we amend House Bill 3069B by removing the parts of Senate Bill 872 that are in here and also removing the study or task force, whichever it is that's in the bill.
Representative Van Loon moves the removal of the what used to be Senate Bill 872 and the sections that require a task force or study. Maybe you could give us the.
I believe that the sessions that would remain would be 1 and 3.
All right. Is that correct? 1 and 3. All All right, that leaves just one and three.
Under discussion, Mr. Chair?
Yes, under discussion, Mr. Phillips, Senator Phillips.
Perhaps the maker of the motion could explain to me the both theoretical and practical application of the fact of removing or keeping the prohibition, I guess, for SAFE, the state's largest workers' comp insurance, from being under the insurance code, how we might want to explore the possibility of what that means to other large insurers as far as the viability and veracity of our insurance codes as they extend today.
Can I address that? I'd like to. The speaker has agreed to a work group or study group to specifically look at the issue of whether the state ought to be in the insurance business, number one, and also to address the issue of with fiscal experts about the financial condition of SAFE, and that's going to be done during the interim. He's already announced that that's his intention. So he believes that by having a non-statutorial group like this, there's more flexibility than a statutorial group, study group or task force will have, and that's why he's recommending going that way. You can count on it happening. He's already agreed.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chair, I appreciate that explanation. That was sort of subpart B of the motion, however. And I think it's high time we had a legislative analysis of sort of a rogue agency that's neither public nor private and may be the greatest thing. I mean, they may be fantastic, and we may decide that they're not quite as fantastic as their marketing department makes them out to be. But the real issue is by making the motions, and I'm not going to object to the motions, but I do want to build a bit of a record here. They are a large insurer in the state. No one argues that. We go out and we pledge to our constituencies that those laws that we pass and the agency rules that are implemented, especially in the area of insurance and workers' comp and finance, are good ones, and they protect the consumers, the workers, the employers of this state by balanced regulation, except when it accounts to SAFE Corporation. Then they're not going to be there. So there's two different elements of the issue here. There's the actual putting them under the insurance code, which doesn't necessarily need a study in the truest part of the world, because as you know, Mr. Chair, if you're an insurance company, you should apply by the insurance codes of this state. And in every bit of their literature, they are indeed an insurance company. But I think we can get at that issue by the commitment by the speaker of the speaker to really analyze both the fiscal and the managerial aspects of whether they should be public or private. And I've got to admit to you, I think that in the growing financial era of responsibility that we're entering, that privatization of SAFE and getting them under the insurance code and pulling the revenue that they will pay in that aspect makes a lot of sense and should be studied. So I commend you and the speaker for going forward on that end of it. But I do think there should be, there is two separate elements to the motion that Representative Van Loan made, and both are good to be studied, but they're two distinct issues.
Thank you. I would just observe in brief that when SAFE was formed, it was formed to create competition. And I'm fair to say they're doing that now. And that's why the rates are down $200 million or 25% from where they were. And while you may not, I don't know if you were here when that was organized or not, that was my first session. And the stated goal of the legislature when SAFE was organized was to create a competitive marketplace. It took about 10 years to do it, but they're doing it now. And they're hurting some of the other carriers, there's no question. Some of the other carriers could sharpen up their act, too.
Well, without doubt, Mr. Chair, but if they're there to promote competition, there's nothing like free and open marketplace to drive competition, as you well know. We got two conservative Republicans arguing the same point. It's how you get there.
I think we probably better stick to the issue here, because the study will take care of the other issue, and I could argue all day about that one, but because we don't see eye to eye there, obviously.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Representative.
Appreciate you invited me, and I didn't have an opportunity to speak to this bill on the floor yesterday, but in following up on Senator Phillips' comments, I think studies are great. I know Senator Cairns did an intensive look, probably some of the best legislative testimony I ever heard. I listened to it on the way to Bend one day on Safe Corporation. It was very good, him and Stan Long, brilliant. However, I just want to point out, in the number of states where there are having workers' comp difficulties, organized labor and employers are now, in fact, looking at state funds as the answer in those states that do not have state funds. And it seems to be providing a stabilizing influence. So when we look at SAFE, we can look at privatization. We also want to look at the advantages of having a captive insurance company that can't leave when they want to, and the stability that they might bring to the insurance market. So there are a number of issues surrounding this that have to be considered.
Thank you very much. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Rasmussen.
I just want to say that one of the reasons I thought that 872 was necessary was to give the state of Oregon the tools necessary to make intelligent decisions about safe corporations, and I'm a little troubled about not having adequate tools to do this as we study it, but I think I understand political reality enough to know that studying the issue and the possibility of the sale of SAFE or recapturing SAFE is one of the goals that many of us have had, and so I'm happy that we can at least move forward on that front.
I guess I could ask the Senator if she'd give me back my workers' comp amendment for newspapers.
I'll trade you 872 for it.
I had it.
Would you like me to answer that one for you?
I think the senator is an eye over here.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes,
I would like to bring up the fact that there were no statutory increases in workers' comp benefits this section, and I was wondering if it wouldn't be appropriate in this conference committee to raise that issue. I think it was Senate Bill 817.
I think we'll have trouble with that one, too.
I
think I better stop here and get to voting for the discussion.
As good as you better.
I think so. The clerk will call the roll on the amendment.
Senator Phillips?
Aye.
Senator Rasmussen?
Aye.
Representative Shiprath?
Aye.
Senator Smith?
Aye.
Representative
Narnoulou? Aye.
Chair Johnson?
Aye. The deletions are passed. We need to go further with anything in this thing now other than to the floor.
She actually asked to amend the bill now is to recommend that the final amendments with the appropriate conceptual amendments be
okay,
adopted.
I guess we need a motion to adopt the amended bill and move it to the floor for concurrence.
So moved.
And with that, we have a motion to amend to move the amended bill to the floor for concurrence. Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Phillips?
Aye.
Senator Rasmussen?
Aye.
Representative Shiprath?
Aye.
Senator Smith?
Aye.
Representative Emily?
Aye.
Chair Johnson?
Aye. Motion is passed, and we are done with this issue. Thank you very much, gentlemen.